Hi, this is Kevin from the Magic Our Way podcast, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Robert.
And I'm Rob, and this is episode 21 for Monday, June 5th, 2017. So today on the Two Bobs, we have an exciting show as always. We're going to talk about how adulting is expensive, what beers we're drinking.
We're going to talk about two people that are having a worse week than we are. We also discuss whether Rob wants to be probed by aliens, and a double dose of crazy news stories. All right, look at that. We switched it up a little bit.
Our listeners have to think that we're in the Twilight Zone right now, unless this is the first time you've ever listened to us and you think this is just the way we do it every time.
The way we do it every time.
We reversed the script, though, for the first time.
We did. We weren't sure we could pull it off, and it only took two takes.
We didn't technically pull it off. We did have to take a second take. But you know, what are you
going
to do?
If that's true. Hey, so how's it going?
Yeah, it's good. It was... As usual. I mean, I feel like we haven't spoken much this week. Yeah, so. I'm beating a dead horse when I say that this was a tough week at work. it's been the name of the game, but, you know, again, not going to complain. This is going to be a bright, cheerful episode, except for all the political stuff. Adulting is expensive. You know, as the spring has sprung, there's outside stuff that had to be done.
Yes.
You know, one thing that I've learned, though, Robert, is mulch. When you think about how much do you have mulch? Do you have mulch in your front of your house?
Yeah, we've got some mulch. We don't have a large pickup truck. So we have a gentleman who cuts our grass who will also handle the trimming of all the large shrubbery.
Nice.
And the placing of the mulch. So.
Gotcha. See, I don't have that guy, but I do like to haul shit in my truck. Including mulch. But what I've learned is there's a formula for the amount of mulch that you need. What you do is you figure out how many bags of mulch that you would normally need. You multiply that number by 150, and that's how many bags you actually need of mulch.
Yeah, that's true. And I've done the same thing where I look at it visually and I think, okay, well, here's a bag. And I, you know, just envision in my head and thinking of a bag, you know, covering the area that it basically covers without thinning it out. And it's still invariably, it won't go quite as far.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year I decided, you know, just to go get some bags. Sometimes we have it dumped. This year I'm like, we don't need that much. So I went and picked up a dozen bags from one of the local places and laid it down. And it covered just this tiny little area in front of the house. I'm like, all right, go get some more bags. I went and got 20 more bags. That Jesus. Covered another slightly larger section in front of the house. And then I went and got, I think, 8 more bags after that, and then I ended up getting 48 bags of mulch compared to the original 12 that I bought, which in my my warped mind I thought would be enough. I feel like there's like a mulch fairy that comes and slowly steals mulch from my yard every year. So
but this isn't the first year you've lived in this house. So when you've done the mulch before, did you get by with 12, or you're gonna need to write this down somewhere, put it in your phone, so next year or next season in the fall, whenever you're going to do it next, you know to at least get 50 bags. Or for the price that you paid for the 50 bags, you're just going to have somebody dump a big old, you know, tell them you needed 50 bags and dump that much worth of stuff in your driveway.
For the price I paid for 50 individual bags of mulch, I could have just bought the place that sold the mulch.
Yeah, I mean, buying it by the bag versus buying it by the truckload, you're definitely, now you got to, you know, haul it around in a wheelbarrow, which is a pain in the ass, versus, you know, dragging a couple bags around. But
I didn't haul shit in the wheelbarrow. I actually...
you put your truck in the grass.
Drove the truck all the way around the house to the backyard, backed up, and just threw that shit on the ground.
I wish I had music for that.
What music would you even use?
I don't know. Something
with a southern twang.
Something with a southern twang. Oh, man. Well, we're finally got a sunny day out there. It's beautiful outside today with more rain coming Sunday. But I just got back from my daughter's soccer game, and they won their – let me try to get this right because I have no clue about soccer. But I was there, you know, in shouting as much as I needed to. But they won their regional championship, so they'll go to States next week on Thursday, drive about 3.5 hours to the southern western tip. of Virginia and nice. Play. Hopefully they'll play Thursday. Well, they will play Thursday, and if they win that, then they'll have another game a little bit farther away for the weekend, and hopefully come back with a nice big trophy to put in the case there at the school. And my son's baseball games will start up again on Sunday, and he's got one almost every week. So it's going to be a busy sports week here at the at this Bob's house. So that's all right. I'll take it because it'll be over in a week and a half, and that'll be it.
There you go. Actually, tonight, Colin had a soccer game that was rescheduled from a rained-out game a couple weeks ago. And so I got home. It was just me. Kelly and the kids were gone. So
at the soccer game,
I drank a beer, did some laundry, just kind of chilled around the house. It was nice.
So you got a little bit of time to yourself.
One thing I forgot to do was eat dinner, though. So
that's all right. The beer will go right to your head.
If I start to just trail off and my eyes roll back in my head, just do me a favor and Facebook message Kelly and tell her she
get
should
home
come
quick
down and check on me. Well, they're home now, so.
Oh, okay.
Kids are
bring
down.
Some pizza. I'm sure you guys had pizza for dinner tonight.
No, we have. I haven't had pizza yet, or I haven't had dinner yet.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know what I'm going to eat for dinner.
There's got to be some up there.
Yeah, I'll drive out and grab something, depending on how this beer hits me.
Well, speaking of which.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I'm anxious to dive into mine. This is the one I talked about last week where I thought it was going to be darker, and this is really, really dark.
It is black as night. A few minutes ago, you held it up to your webcam. Hey. And I can actually see, I can see myself. It's so dark. Yeah, I can't see you. I can see me, though. So what do you got there? What is that?
Well,
you go first.
This is a Terrapin Beer Company. It looks like out of Athens, Georgia. And it's a coffee oatmeal imperial stout. This one's made by two companies there in Athens, Georgia, which is the Terrapin Beer Company. And Jittery Joe's, which is a coffee shop, says they've teamed up to create a unique blend of coffee called Wake and Bake. We then use the blend in our WNB coffee oatmeal imperial stout. And it says pair with Parmesan or Stilton, a grilled steak topped with blue cheese, and char-grilled Brussels sprouts. So it's nice. And this one, like last week where I thought there would be more of a taste one, like you said, the darker beers are going to have more of that. And this one definitely does. So it's super dark. And actually, I'm pretty surprised the IBUs are 50. And I don't expect that out of a darker beer, but it's definitely in there. The coffee taste is pretty strong as well. So hopefully I won't be up all night, but... Hey, it's Friday, so I got stuff to do.
That's true. I have to work tomorrow, though. I want some Parmesan steak, though.
I know. That does sound good. I started to stumble over that. And
you got to do that to me.
That would be good. I had a cheeseburger at the game. I think I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, where that was something that I really craved, was a cheeseburger at one of the games where it comes wrapped up in the foil. But anyhow, this is 9.4% alcohol by volume.
Ooh.
Which is nice and high. 50 IBUs. The hops are Nugget. Malts are Two Row Pale, Crystal 85, Flaked Barley, Flaked Oats, Chocolate, Black, Roasted Barley. And then the other ingredient it says is Jittery Joe's Coffee Blend. And I picked this up at Total Wine in one of their Create Your Own Six Packs. And it says availability is November, so maybe it's the tail end of that. So it could be a seasonal, but I'm going to have another sip while you talk to me about yours.
I feel like to... have a coffee shop called Jittery Joe's. You need to be someplace like Athens, Georgia, though.
Yeah, or actually I was thinking originally when I thought about it, if it was, with the coffee and the beer, I've read a lot about where the Portland area, I know we talked about Portland last week, but I know that that's a really good place for beer and for coffee. So I figured something like this would be from up that way, but down in Georgia, which I'm kind of surprised. Also Terrapin, which north of here is University of Maryland, and that's their mascot. So I figured it would be from up there. I was surprised. It was from Georgia, so... I like it. It's strong. You definitely taste the IBUs in there, and I definitely taste the coffee. So,
all right, Jittery Joe's in the house.
So what do you got over there?
I got a red and black porter from Frederick Robinson out of the UK. If you look at the bottle is kind of scary, but I like it. There's like
a... Yeah, I got a picture up here on the website. It's got this almost like
it's a badass
skeleton looking...
It's like a zombie skeleton.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
So he'll be in your next dream.
Yeah, so let me tell you about this bad boy.
Yeah.
The red and black porter is 6.8% alcohol by volume. Trooper Red and Black Porter is the first dark beer in the Trooper ranks and a modern take on a recipe dating back centuries. Named after a track from the latest Iron Maiden album, The Book of Souls, the red and black color comes from the blend of chocolate and crystal malt, which gives this full-bodied beer a roasted malt and caramel backbone.
Thank you.
The special Robinson's yeast provides hints of both licorice and honey character to create a delicious warming brew. Designed yet again by Iron Maiden vocalist Bruce Dickinson and Robinson's head brewer, Black and Red takes its inspiration from an original Robinson's recipe from the 1850s, a time when porter-style beer was becoming increasingly popular in Britain.
That does look familiar. When I was a kid, Iron Maiden was pretty big. That picture does look familiar to something that they would have on their, you know, album art.
Well, if you look at the font that's on the front of the bottle, actually, it says Trooper. I guess it's Trooper Red and Black.
It says Iron Maiden on the top.
There's an Iron Maiden logo on the top, and it's kind of the same font that was used for everything. But this contains malted barley and wheat, tasting notes, black and red hue. Smell is roast malt, fruity hop, taste warming citrus fruit, rich dark malt. It's a little less sweet than what I usually drink in a porter and a little bit more bitter than what I usually drink in a porter. So it's it reminds me a little bit more of like an IPA, but kind of a little bit further in that end of the spectrum. So it's not what I usually drink, but I will say I do like it. I will drink my beer as we discuss all the ongoings of the world and do what we do.
I'm looking at the website as well, and the sweet is 3 out of 5, and the bitter is 3.5 out of 5. So it, as you were saying that, I was thinking that's probably where it would be. Anyhow, that looks good.
It's not one of those when I drink it, like a lot of times with a really citrusy beer, I'll drink it and I have that like that quick moment, you know, like if you were to bite into a lemon, is kind of, you know. I don't have that with this, though. I can taste a little bit of the citrus, but it's good. I like it.
Yeah, a lot of times with the IPAs that I tend to drink, I know I've had one. It was called Racer 5, which had very high ratings. So I think, oh, I'll try it. And the first time I drank it, like you said, it kind of made me pucker up because it really reminded me of a strong grapefruit juice. And so that's the kind that I tend to drink. So I'd probably like that one. And the one here I've got, I'm drinking a little bit as you were talking, and I really do taste the coffee in it. So
I like coffee.
You know, one thing I'm really relieved about, and I don't know if there's a reason behind it, but I don't have any voicemails this week from our scary caller, so I'm not quite sure where he is, but he hasn't by chance called you, has he?
No, maybe he's in prison.
Well, we did, maybe that, like you said, the well sound that he had last week is probably what it was, but I don't know. Part of me was relieved. Part of me was a little bit disappointed. So if you're out there, scary caller, give us a ring. Let us know where you are.
I like that he targets you and not me, though. So as long as that keeps happening, he can keep doing his thing, you know, until he's blue in the face.
Well, there's two Bobs. I mean, he could be targeting the wrong person, which maybe we'll find out at some point. But
yeah, there's only one Bob K, though.
That's true. I didn't think of that. Well, you know, hey. The other thought is he might be out there being investigated by the Secret Service. You've had a bad week, but there's some other people out there who have been having worse weeks than us. So you know who that might be?
If I had to guess, it would probably be Betty White. Did she die again? I heard Betty White died again this week.
You're going to have to call your mom and find out. But no, I don't think so. Not Betty White.
Yeah, but I think you also might be talking about Kathy Griffin.
Poor Kathy has been in the news quite a bit. And I, you know, I've read a lot about this and I've seen news and we've talked about it a little bit. You know, I'm having a hard time with it. I'm not quite sure exactly where I stand or where I should stand. But at the same time, I have a pretty good idea. I mean, there's a big part of me that thinks that, you know, it's freedom of speech, it's First Amendment, it's everything that our president and everybody below him and everybody around him, which is, you know, for better or worse, all of us, you know, we should be protecting that and we should be celebrating it. But at the same time, I think, and you might be feeling the same way, at the same time, I think she probably went a little bit overboard.
Yeah, so, you know, let's get real for a couple minutes here. You know, if you don't like it, just fast forward about 5 minutes or so and, you know, go on to the, you know, crazy shit we usually talk about. But yeah, I believe in freedom of speech. I think it's an important right as an American. We have the right to express ourselves and our opinions and things like that. I don't know. I feel like in Kathy Griffin as a comedian, she, you know, when she was recording, you know, I watched a video of them actually doing this photo shoot. In the beginning, she goes, "I'm not afraid to," what the hell did she say? I'm not afraid to create noise. And so for me, it's kind of funny because, I mean, I think what she did, like, I mean, listen, if you've listened to the show, you know I think Donald Trump's a fucking douchebag. Aside from how I think he is or isn't as a president, I just think he's a douchebag regardless. And so if somebody's going to go after him, I don't necessarily blame him. But at the same time, so to actually make a bloodied, like decapitated head that's like dripping in blood, even if it's not real blood, and take this picture and put it out there and be like, aha, take that. Yeah. And then get all bent out of shape and defensive and apologetic and try to make people feel sorry. I feel like she's putting on a show, like trying to get empathy from people after she gets fired back on, just like anybody would who's being attacked right. like that. I think she went way too far.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, you kind of have to expect that. And I think some of the coverage was, you know, she would even say, hey, you know, I'm going to need bail money to get me out of here. And, you know, there's part of me when I first saw it, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but it was earlier this week when I first saw it, I instantly thought, hey, she's, you know, really making herself a target for, like I said earlier, the Secret Service, or, I mean, anybody's going to have to look into that. I mean, can yeah. it be seen as a perceived threat to the president? I mean, is Kathy Griffin going to go, you know, jump the fence, break into the White House and, you know, kill him? No. Is she going to pay anybody to do it? I don't think she's got that kind of money. I mean, she's made her life out of doing this sort of thing, but there's a line, and Melissa always jokes with me, you know, that I know where that line is. And I mentioned it in another episode where, you know, I know where that button is, that I can find it at any point and push it with just about anybody that's going to, you know, send them across the line. Either it's hitting the roof or whatever the case may be. But she knew where that line was. And she, you know, not only just took one step over it just to see what would happen, basically took both steps over, put her hands on her hips and stood her ground and said, you know, I'm across it. What are you going to do about it? And she's finding out now.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I mean, she's a comedian, right? And yeah. what she did, like, if you want to be a shock comedian, which she kind of has been, I mean, she's always been very open in what her political beliefs are. But if you're going to be that shock comedian, that's fine. Do it in a way that's, you know, that it's at least tasteful and amusing to people. I think this just wasn't comedy. It wasn't funny. And I don't know right. why her and this guy that took these pictures, this photographer, thought it would be funny. Like, it's her holding a disgusting, like, if you look at the picture, I don't know if you saw it, it actually looks like a bloody,
I did.
It looks like a bloody Donald Trump head that's been cut off of its body. And she's just holding it there. Like, I don't agree with it. I mean, when you have people like Anderson Cooper, who's
right.
know, I mean, they do the annual the New Year's Eve thing together, which she's been fired from that, I've heard from CNN. But when you have somebody who's a good friend of hers, a political commentator, basically just saying what she did was completely uncalled for, you know, you've fucked up. It's not even a Republican coming after her and saying, well, that was stupid and disgusting. It was Anderson Cooper who, I mean, let's face it, he's a Democrat. Even if he pretends yeah. to be balanced, he's a Democrat. So, Well, she's had a bad week.
I've read some about this guy and heard a little bit of it in the coverage that he's done previous shoots that have pushed the envelope as far as what is acceptable and what's not, and just basically taken things that are sensitive issues and not really capitalized on them, but done, you know, basically put them out as art. And, you know, thinking years back, but Robert Mapplethorpe got into a lot of hot water about the type of things that he was doing, but he was just doing it under the guise of art. And this is kind of the same thing. But again, there had to be somebody that was there that was saying, you know, I understand what you're trying to do, but this is a little bit too much. And evidently there wasn't. And again, we're kind of finding out how that plays out. And she's upset about, you know, hey, he's coming after me and he's bullying me. And, you know, she's got to, you know, basically hire lawyers to try to help her out. But at the same time, come on, you had to know it.
Yeah. And she's sitting there again. What I don't like is, you know, she got this backlash. She said, well, shit, I fucked up. But instead of coming out and saying, you know what, my bad, I apologize. You know, I'll accept whatever I have coming to me because I did something stupid. Targeting the leader of the free world, whether, you know, some of us like that he is or not, he's the president, targeting him, like, instead of just doing that and like kind of like manning up and just taking ownership of it and saying, hey, sorry, let's move on with our lives. You know, she goes up there, she's like crying and stuff like that. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry. I don't empathize with her in that situation because she, she put it on herself, you know. But you know who didn't cry when he had a little bit of an issue last week? Actually, the one person who might have been having a worse week than Kathy Griffin, who do you think that might be?
Well, it's the only person that I can think of, because it's also something that's captivated me, but it's our friend Tiger Woods.
He's like the gift that keeps on giving. Last like decade,
back when he was really coming onto the scene, he was really coming onto something. Yeah, he's on something. But I was following him and watching his, you know, the whole story about, you know, he even called it Coblin Asian. You know, here's this white guy sport. You know, I mean, even in down there at Augusta, where, you know, people of color, and I don't even know that women are allowed to play down there. But here's a kid, really, who is coming out there, who's got a swing like nobody else's, who can play golf like nobody else, who is going to basically take over the reins as the greatest golfer ever, you know, the Michael Jordan of golf, to surpass Jack Nicklaus, who was just a monster on the golf course. And he gets close enough, but not quite there. Things unravel at home, and then, you know, basically the bottom falls out. So I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that feels bad for him, but at the same time, you know, like Kathy Griffin, it's one of those things that there's more to it, I think, that's going on. I think he realized some of his mistakes, and, you know, it's really kind of caught up with him, and age has caught up with it, as it has me, and, you know, eventually will you, my friend. You know, it's just, never. It's hard to see.
Yeah, I feel like Tiger Woods was never, ever since the original scandal, which was, what, 10, 12 years ago? 8 years ago?
Yeah, probably.
It was a long time ago. But ever since the original scandal where he was cheating and his girlfriend, you know, bashed his car in and stuff like that, like, I feel like he never quite rebounded from that. He was at, no. You know, he was at the top of the top. This incident happened. It was a big media circus. I feel like it wouldn't be as big of a media circus today if it happened, but back then it was. And I feel like he just never, it was such a very quick fall from grace, and just never, like, after that, it was just a lack of consistency and not being able to, you know, he had some wins along the way over the, you know, since that incident, but it's not, he was never the same golfer he was after the fact. And this is just, you know, this is just, I guess, the icing on the cake as to what Tiger Woods has become. Although what's interesting is, because if you watch the video, the video's actually kind of funny. They're doing a field sobriety test on the side of the road, and, you know, the guy's asking him to follow the light, and he's just not even moving. And the cop's like, hey, you're not even following the light. He's like, yeah, yeah. You know, it's, eventually they do arrest him. But I guess the story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but the story was that he actually had taken a combination of prescription medication that might have messed him up, and then it wasn't actually alcohol.
Well, no, he blew a zero on the breathalyzer.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, when they found him, I mean, he's sitting basically on the side of the road. Let's see, the brake lights of Woods' 2015 Mercedes-Benz AMG 65 are lit, and the right turn signal is blinking. But he's on the side of the road with the car running and basically passed out.
The right turn signal's on.
Yeah, the turn signal's on, and he's evidently he's got damage to the side of the car as well. So he's hit something, and it hasn't come out whether it was, you know, another car, a deer, or a tree, or
a person.
Yeah. So there's nobody that's saying, you know, there's a hit and run as far as we know, but they approach him and ask him to get out of the car, and he does, but he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what time it is, what day it is, anything. Yeah. Have you been drinking? No. You know, they've got to figure out what it is, and eventually they just decide, hey, we're going to arrest you and take you in. And he looks awful in the mugshot.
Oh, God. It's a typical mugshot. I mean, they don't exactly make those, you know, they're not exactly the glamour shots or anything like that. But,
no.
he looks fucking terrible.
Yeah, it says, well, one recording shows a Jupiter, Florida police officer giving Woods a field sobriety test. Before they start, Woods puts his right foot on the hood of the officer's car and spends some time tying his shoe. He's wearing shorts, a dark hat, and a light-colored shirt. So basically, also part of the test, too, is they were going to have him tie his left shoe, and he puts his right shoe up, you know, and it's already tied. And it's all kind of weird stuff where he's not there. He shouldn't have been out there in the first place, but so at least, you know, thankfully he was there on the side of the road and they were able to get him somewhere to sober up a little bit. But I can't imagine much more of a fall from grace than this guy, outside of OJ, of course.
Well, that is true. He's not in prison, and you know, for the time being, he's just.
It's not quite the level of the fall that OJ had, because you know nobody's dead, but at the same time, you know, and Woods was also too. He was also one of the clean guys. You know, he was the good guy. He had, you know, he had the parents that were there, and I still remember him winning the Masters and coming over and giving his dad a hug, and then you know his dad passed away. You know, not long after the one that I'm recalling in my head. Yeah. So, you know, he was super close to his dad who pushed him, and his mom was there with her hat. And, you know, I remember that and always thinking, okay, here's a good guy. And I was a Jack Nicklaus fan and thinking, all right, well, he's going to beat it, but hey, it's okay. Cause he's a good kid and he's a good person and he's an unbelievable golfer. And to see it at this point, it's just, you know, it's kind of sad.
You think he's been abducted by aliens? And that is an alien Tiger Woods?
Yeah, I mean, it probably could. With all the stuff that's going on these days, you know, every morning we're waking up to something new. It's got to be something. I mean, people can't be that stupid. So it's got to be aliens. What other explanation could there be?
I blame aliens for our president. And Kathy Griffin.
Yeah. Kathy Griffin, Tiger.
So there's an article on The Verge that I shared with you. We're getting really good at segues, by the way. But there's an article on The Verge. So recently, Laura Logan from the show 60 Minutes did an interview with Robert Bigelow, who is the founder of space habitat company Bigelow Aerospace. And Mr. Bigelow does believe that aliens have visited Earth.
He's probably not that far off. You got to think about it. How can we possibly be the only ones out there? But whether they've been here, I mean, if you have to believe what we were taught as kids, where space is infinite and it never ends, I mean, how are they going to target us? But I got the article up here. So you want to recreate what their interview was?
Yeah, so I'll be Laura Logan.
Okay.
Because I think I can get into the character with her. I'm feeling her. I'm feeling like a Laura tonight. Do you think you can handle Robert Bigelow?
I've only had one beer, so I'll be the guy. You've had two, so you be her.
I need your real estate mogul and founder of a habitat company, a space habitat company, okay. Voice on when we do this. Okay,
all right, I'll get into character.
All right, perfect. So this is a portion of the interview between Lara and Robert. So here we go. Okay, and scene. So do you believe in aliens?
I'm absolutely convinced. That's all there is to it.
Okay, so... Do you also believe that UFOs have come to Earth?
Well, there has been and is an increasing presence, an ET presence, and I spent millions and millions and millions. I probably spent more than an individual and anybody else in the United States has ever spent on this project.
I think that had like a little bit of a nice mix of nerdy but serious at the same time.
No, I like
time,
it. So. Now, there's another section, though.
Interview.
So we should probably get back to character. Yeah, I think you know, go ahead and finish it off.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So get him, Laura. Is it risky for you to say in public that you believe in UFOs and aliens?
I don't give a damn. I don't care.
So you don't worry about what some people will say. Did you hear that guy? He sounds like he's crazy.
I don't care.
Why not?
It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to change reality of what I know.
Do you imagine that in our space travels we will encounter other forms of intelligent life?
You don't have to go anywhere.
You can't. You can find it here? Where exactly?
It's just like people right under our noses. Oh my gosh, wow.
What are you doing tonight?
My God. Mind.
And then at that moment...
And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?
I picture my mom and also... Jaden Smith walking into the room and just completely taking over this conversation.
It says, admitting you believe in aliens is one thing, but Bigelow seems to be no less than a true believer. He told 60 Minutes he's had close encounters, but wouldn't divulge any specifics. And, you know, it's funny. You know, we're big Packers fans here in this family, and the quarterback of the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, has said that he has witnessed and he has had encounters as well. So he hasn't gone into any specifics because, you know, why would he?
But he probably got
maybe
probed.
Sometime after he's retired,
he's embarrassed. Like
Cartman. He got the anal probe like Cartman, but I mean, he said it. And, you know, again, I have to believe, well, I don't have to believe anything, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, I don't know that it's that big Independence Day kind of, you know, the alien ship flies over. What's the other movie where, you know, they come in with the big ship and basically envelop the whole Earth? But I don't know.
Great Outdoors with John Candy.
John Candy.
John Goodman. Is that the one?
I don't think so. Now, do you believe in aliens? What would your experience if you had encountered an alien? Would you think it'd be something that you would know, or would you not know it?
I can't see that I can't say that I've actually encountered an alien before.
Have you ever thought about it though? Have you ever thought about you're standing in line buying your beer and the person in front of you or behind you or even just anywhere, you know, driving down the street, walking down the street, you know, in the grocery store, any of those places that there's nobody there. You know, why would the alien be buying groceries? Do they eat the same food?
I'm a fan of facts. What I know for sure is that I have not noticed anything that I would consider to be alien life forms on the planet Earth. That being said, do I believe that there's life on, like, alien life on other planets? I mean, I think so, because it'd be Earth and our habitat is just the... It's a speck of dust on a speck of dust on a speck of dust on a speck of dust in the grand scheme of things. So when you talk about the universe, like, I almost think it would be crazy to not at least entertain the thought that there might be life on other planets, because there's just such an expansive universe that we've never even seen before. So I think aliens do exist. I don't think they call themselves aliens. I don't know if they have, you know, big beady eyes and they glow green and stuff like that. But I do believe that there's life on other planets. And I think that probably at some point we'll have a confirmation of that. Just not quite yet.
But you're not of the belief, like, you know, Mr. Bigelow here, is that they've been here to this planet, whether in the United States or not.
No, I think he's a little bit crazy. I think
probably a little bit.
I mean, he's the founder and the CEO of a space habitat company. I think he's probably a little bit crazy.
A little crazy. Well, it says here to be fair, if aliens are already living here, I guess it doesn't really matter if you believe in them or not. They seem to be blending in just fine. Also, Bigelow's belief doesn't seem to have detracted from his success. He told Logan he's made enough from building long-stay rental apartments to support Bigelow Airspace, which launched its first inflatable human-rated habitat last year. So,
hey, listen, if you're an alien and you want to live on my planet, that's not a problem. Just, you know, don't point your probes in my direction and, you know, we'll be fine.
Pay your taxes.
Don't, you know, and we're not talking about the aliens that, you know, swim across the river. We're talking about the ones from other planets.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna live here. You can't be living off our land here, sucking up all our stuff.
Well, Robert, I think, you know, we've had some good conversation, some serious topics. We don't usually get too deep into the kind of the serious stuff on this show, but I think it's, you know, it's things that people are talking about right now. So I think it's always good to do that. But you know, we are the two Bobs, right? And if we went through an entire episode without some crazy new shit, I think we'd be doing our listeners a disservice. So let's talk about some crazy news. What do we got going on?
My favorite one here between the two of them, and actually they're both really good, but the one that I knew was just right up our alley was this woman in San Diego, California. But her name is Carol Santa Fe, and she fell for the Santa Fe train station when she was 9 years old. So fell for, meaning she's in love, and she has admitted that she's in love with the train station.
Yeah, she doesn't she doesn't really like the train station. She doesn't think it's really cool. She doesn't seem like she really uses the train station. She's actually in love with it
she's in love with the train station
to the point where she admits to actually having sex with it mentally.
she's thought about it. Now, you know, there's a lot of great buildings around. You know, you can admire the architecture, but to go that far is to think that you're actually in love with it and to hug the building, that's a bit extreme. So I've got the audio here, and I'll play that for you.
I'm from San Diego, California, and I'm dating a train depot.
So, yep. Yeah.
She admits it. She kisses. She just kissed it.
Most people know this building over here as the Santa Fe Train Depot. And I know her as my friend,
I like her fanny
my
pack.
Life partner, my wife, Deidre,
so she's a
Santa Fe.
She's a lesbian?
I don't know that she...
She's having a gay affair with Santa Fe train station.
Yeah, she's standing there. Yeah, she's got a great fanny pack on, and she's going. She kind of waves her hands up in the air as to...
Is that a onesie she's wearing?
2015. I realized I was in love. when I had trouble staying away from her, when I had to go home. I hated it when I had to go home.
What do you think the owner of the train station thinks?
You know, is there any way they can keep her, you know, nowhere near 500 feet from this building? So, yeah, she just basically goes and hangs out with this thing and, you know, leans up against it, gives it hugs.
She, like, caresses it.
Waves to it and caresses it.
I mean, Vader picked a great place to be here. And I love looking out at the other buildings. We watched that building being built together.
The train, her and the train station watched the building being built.
She's, call her a
how do you think she has sex with it?
I'm her princess. She's my queen.
I don't know. I think she's a little bit nuts.
If they don't understand why I'm all
if you could even say a little bit, but she's a lot nuts.
She needs to find Jesus.
But they have to love each other.
She needs to find something, you know. She's very serious.
She's in a committed relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a lot of like what you said about the Kathy Griffin thing, where it's like she's pulling your leg, or she's, you know, she's doing something that's trying to get sympathy. But no, this lady is 110% serious about this train station, and that's what she loves.
Does
so.
She feel like everybody who goes in there, like the train station, is cheating on her?
Is
with
she jealous?
Thousands yeah. of like train stations a real slut.
So she tied the knot with the Santa Fe train station in San Diego. She claims the building is called Daedra, which she has had sex with mentally. She says she identifies as objectum sexual, which is an attraction to inanimate objects. Miss Santa Fe keeps her love hidden through fear of being banned from the site. And, you know, come full circle as I'm reading this out is maybe that's why her last name is Santa Fe, because she loves the train station in Santa Fe. So she's taken the train station's name.
Oh, my God, if she did that, that'd be crazy.
Mind blown.
Yeah, that's right, Jaden.
That's it.
My mind's fucking blown, you know, too.
Having read this before, I never came to that conclusion until just now. So that's
so, Robert, she's crazy. I have a serious question. If you had to marry an inanimate object, what would it be? you don't have to answer that.
I don't know that I could. So, what would I... Well, I'm hoping, you know, in the next week or so, it'll be the bidet.
We're still working on
securing one of those. So our friends.
Oh, no, we need two of them.
Bidet.
There's two bobs. Two bidets.
I'm trying to get two.
I saw it.
I'm trying to get two.
Kelly.
You know, we can live stream from the bidet, I think.
I told Kelly this morning. I said, hey, there's a company called BioBidet that wants to give us some bidets. She's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. She goes, I'm not putting that in my toilet. I said, yes, you are. And I said, it'll be awesome.
It would be awesome. And the thing about it is, at least here, you know, if you've got more than one bathroom in the house, right? Even just two.
I'm going to live tweet my initial experience with the bidet.
Oh, well, go Facebook Live. But, I mean, you've got more. You have more than one bathroom, right? Well,
I do.
I think we might have discussed. Okay. Yeah, so it goes on one.
Who has one bathroom?
It doesn't have to go in. Yeah, it doesn't
kill myself.
You never know.
One bathroom.
It doesn't have to go in the main bathroom. Like in my house, it would probably be down here in the basement where I am. There's a bathroom over there in the corner, and you know, it would go in there. So it's the bathroom that not many people use. It can be one of those test things. I wouldn't put it in the main floor where guests have got to go in there and go, how the F do you use this thing?
You gotta show
them. I'd be smart about it. Put it.
What I'm going to do is
you tell me when you're going to need it, and I'll come in and I'll turn the little lever.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is whenever I have guests at my house, I'm going to take them to the bathroom and do like a little quick tutorial of how to use the bidet, so they know when they have to go. I've canceled our Amazon Prime subscribe and save monthly delivery for toilet paper. We don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I'm excited about it.
Bet you are.
I mean, hopefully it works out. If not, and I might end up just going to buy one because the suspense is killing me. But our friends at BioBidet out there, come on, help the Bobs out. We'll talk about it a lot, I promise.
No, I think I'm gonna host the show sitting on it.
All right. Well, we'll both do it.
I'll have to put like a shelf on the wall in the bathroom. I could figure it out. I have Wi-Fi.
Put all your beers up there.
Put all my beers just, you know, on the wall. Perfect.
I'm not going to marry any inanimate objects, but we have one more crazy news story. So you want to lead on that one?
Yeah. So there was this phenomenon a couple months, I think it was like in the fall, this scary clown phenomenon kind of sweeping the country. In fact, there was an instance where it happened literally like a mile and a half from my house. I can drive to this place in like 3 minutes. By car. So it's just people just hanging out in scary, like, murder clown outfits trying to scare the shit out of people just for shits and giggles. So
that's anyway, a good show title.
We can't duplicate show titles. We did that last week.
Damn it.
But, you know, so, and I think when it originally happened over here, so there's a self-service car wash down the street from me. And there was a news article when all this kind of like crazy, scary clown stuff was going on. It happened right down the street where there was a guy just chilling in front of the car wash, and it made our local news and stuff like that. Clown didn't do anything; just literally just stood there. And somebody actually got
that's enough though.
Yeah, somebody actually got video. pulled their phone out, took video of the clown just like chilling there. It was just didn't move. It was, but it was freaky as hell because I'm like, shit, I drive by that place all the time. So I think this guy here in California might have taken it a little bit of a step further than...
He's the Kathy Griffin of creepy-ass clowns.
You know, because why would you go in a Detroit suburb on a you know, a small road when you can, you know, hit up California Expressway?
Yeah, it says police spotted 61-year-old Larry Allen Tovey holding out his thumb like a hitchhiker. He was then handcuffed, questioned, and released. So he was standing there alongside of Highway 101 in California wearing this creepy-ass clown outfit, holding a machete.
And so what's funny is that it was a bloody machete, too. So much like the bloody Trump had, this was a machete that was bloodied up, which they said the blood was fake. But the machete was real. So this guy had this giant knife that he was just kind of like carrying around with him at the side of a Highway 101, which is historically known to be a very, very congested highway. Just... flipping people hell out. And I guess a bunch of people were calling 911 to let them know that this guy was on the side of the road, and the police came. And what's funny is Monterey County Sheriff's Office they arrived at the scene with guns. Oh, hold on. So Monterey County Sheriff's Office arrived on the scene with guns drawn to find this fucker here with this clown mask and this machete sticking his thumb out trying to hail a ride.
Says the guy wasn't charged because we didn't have a victim that was threatened by him with the machete. It also says a machete is technically a tool and not classified as a weapon, so it's not a crime to carry one in public unless it's used in a threatening manner. So just walking around and carrying it. So since nobody came forward to say that he threatened him, they had to let him go. So he's a 61-year-old man. I guess he's got nothing else better to do. But
maybe he's a Stephen King fan.
September, it'll be out.
That'll be exciting. Now, do you think that this guy tomorrow is going to release a very tearful apology statement?
I would hope
so. His clown career is probably over, right?
Probably over.
I mean, it's
being bullied.
It's only a matter of time till the Secret Service starts investigating him.
Because although a psychiatric evaluation was done on the scene, Toby did not meet the guidelines required for commitment. He also didn't meet the requirements for arrest on a charge of disturbing the peace. Right now, as far as we know, he was standing there looking at traffic, so... that's all they figured he was doing, so nothing to see here. Move along.
Now, how do you suppose they do a psychiatric eval on the side of the expressway to a guy dressed in a clown outfit? Are you fucking crazy? No? Okay.
That's right. Stand there with a clown suit if you're crazy. All right, let's go.
How do you pass that? How do you pass?
I don't know.
How do you pass a psychic eval on the side of the expressway while you're holding a machete dressed as a clown?
I mean, honestly, these days, that's a quick way to get yourself killed. I mean, you got to imagine there's enough people out there, they're going to take this into their own hands thinking, I got to save somebody, so why don't I just kill the crazy clown with the machete? You know what I mean? I mean, there's got to be people out there, and he's lucky he didn't get killed. I'm sure there are other news stories out there where people have tried to do the same thing, like in your area, that ended up getting hurt or, you know, worse just because they were trying to play a joke. So people don't mess with that. You're a clown, or you're thinking... you're some sort of menace. There's going to be somebody that's going to take it into their own hands to try to solve it.
Listen, you approach me dressed up like this fucker, I start swinging. Punched. I swing now and think out. Later. I don't know. You're a 61-year-old crazy fucker from California. I just start swinging. I go fisticuffs with these fuckers the second they approach me. So
now, if he's got a machete, you're heading the other way, aren't you?
Oh yeah, unless I have a gun, then I shoot it.
That's different.
And that's the problem. Like, I mean, not to keep going to serious stuff here, but if there's a guy that has a gigantic knife and you feel threatened by them, I'd feel like if you shot the person that you probably would, it would be just considered self-defense at that point. So like, why would you even think about this? But anyway,
that's why there's professionals out there. Call them in 911.
Yes. And who else can you call?
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Call and let us know what you thought about today's show. Let us know if you've encountered any aliens, if you're married to any inanimate objects, if you've ever done a photo shoot that you probably shouldn't have, or if you're ever caught sleeping on the side of the road. We'd love to hear
specifically
from you.
If you have done a photo shoot that you aren't proud of. I'd like to hear about that. And if you could just maybe send us the
email
pictures.
Those to us.
Yeah, just email us at hello@thetwobobs. But speaking of that phone number, what is that phone number?
530-882-BOB, which is 530-882-2627. All right. And you can also email us, hello@thetwobobs.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search Two Bobs Podcast and join our new Facebook group. We've got a lot going on there during the week, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and just visit us at thetwobobs.com.
Thank you very much. Have a great night.
See you later.
Bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.